Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Go. It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. I can say it. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, because it's technically just after midnight in the Eastern time zone where the Stellars just put a whooping on them Miami Dolphins and win 28-15. Not nearly as close as that score would suggest. Welcome into the newest edition of Cabali and Mac. He is Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show. Mark Cabali, live in the press box at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. I am Chris Mack, nice and toasty warm in his basement. Kaboom! That was the most all-around performance we've seen from this team yet this year. Would be a really good time to see them get things on track down the stretch run with three games to go. I think a lot of people are going to just chalk it up to, yeah, the Dolphins suck and it's cold and Tua is a bum. But I don't know, man. That looked about as good as this team has looked overall all year long.
Yeah, dominant performance from almost start to finish, probably more in the second half. I'm just trying to think when they had a more dominant performance. You'd have to go back to probably last year at some point. Maybe the Jets-Giants game midseason last year.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, they ran the ball, they threw the ball, they played unbelievable defense. They shut down the run game. They made Tua look like Tua. It was just start to finish domination in a game that they needed to win. A game that, you know, it was a Monday night game where cold, not a lot of people here. Well, not a lot of people, but there was a lot of no-shows, a lot of what-ifs. I even picked them to lose. So, all around good. Now puts them in a position, Mac. All they got to do, really, if worse comes to worse, is beat the Ravens on week 18, and they're in.
Yeah, you'd like to see them take care of it between now and then, which is a possibility. But, yeah, I mean, they still control their own destiny is what's important, right?
Yeah, I don't think it matters next week. They can lose to Detroit, and it really doesn't matter one way or another. But I think if they – winning Cleveland the next week and Baltimore loses one of these games, the Packers or Patriots, they can clinch her up. Who would have thought that this team could potentially clinch with 2 weeks left? Potentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they were to surprise some people in Detroit next Sunday and then beat Cleveland as well, I got a hard time seeing Baltimore winning back-to-back games against the Patriots and the Packers. The Packers game will be at Lambeau as well. So, I mean, that would be it. That would be done. If the Ravens split the next two and the Steelers won the next two, it would be cooked before they even get to week 18.
And mind you, what was that? A couple weeks ago, the Chicago game, where there was just pathetic, followed by, what was it? What was the game after that, the Monday? What was the Monday? What was the Sunday night game here?
The Buffalo game. It was Buffalo a Sunday game. Night.
The Chicago Buffalo, back and back to back. They just looked as god awful as possible. And as I keep saying, and people laughing at me and people mocking me on Twitter, as long as that 42-year-old quarterback keeps playing like that, they can beat anybody.
This was well. I'll get to Rodgers in a second because Brent has a request in the YouTube chat. There it is, the victory beer.
How about a victory piece of pizza at midnight?
That's not a bad idea. That actually looks pretty good. That looks like some school cafeteria pizza, and I mean that in the most complimentary way possible.
What do you think?
I would eat that right now if I had a piece of that in front of me.
You want me to grade it like Portnoy?
Yeah. Go ahead.
6.1.
Okay. Not bad for midnight in the Heinz Field press box. Here's where I will push back a little bit. Johnny the Barber wants to say, let's not go from 6 to midnight here. Let's pump the brakes. It was Miami. Miami came in on a 4-game winning streak, averaging almost 200 rushing yards a game, Johnny. So that's where I will push back on it just a little bit. I get it. Miami sucks in the cold. I get it. Tua sucks in the cold and may just suck in general. Mm-hmm. But they dominated. Once you push through the first, what was it? The first 3 possessions, the Steelers punted. Yeah,
punt.
Then they scored on 4 consecutive drives. That is the first time the Pittsburgh Steelers, by the way, kaboom, the first time they've scored on 4 consecutive drives since 2018. It had been 7 years, man. So that's I think that ties back into what you said about Rodgers making just almost anything possible when he's playing well and the run game's doing well. They're controlling the clock, getting the other team off the field, and that's why it was a full 360 kind of game tonight. It worked on both sides.
Yeah, and just some of him getting them into the right plays, some of the, you know, RPOs, the stuff he calls at the line of scrimmage. You see that puts him in very good position. That throw he threw off the back foot, I guess, was it the Metcalf? I don't even know if it was him or the Freiermuth one, which is something not too many people can make, I don't believe, in the league, to be honest with you. He's been that good. He can be that good. He has been that good the past 2 weeks. And this defense balled out, played well. It's not like they have a tough – I mean, they got obviously Detroit, but you got Cleveland. I don't see why you can't continue this up. I was all out on them. I admit it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, we all were.
They're pushing. I mean, I'm not all back in on them yet, but this went a far way because it was just a dominant performance, like you said.
Well, yeah, and I'll want to see how it goes next week in Detroit. Now, like you pointed out, that's an NFC game, non-conference game, won't affect your tiebreakers, anything like that. But obviously a loss and a win by the Ravens at home against the Patriots would tighten things back up. So it does still matter. Plus, I want to see the way they play against a high-powered offense like that on their home turf where the Lions are always explosive. The Lions are fighting for their lives now, too, on the outside of the NFC playoff picture looking in. So that is going to be – if they were to pull off a win in Detroit, I think you would pull a lot more people back onto the bandwagon. At the same time, I'm not discounting a win over the Dolphins. I do want to say thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC. They are getting it done, even in the cold weather this time of year. You need your furnace checked up. They will do it at half the cost right now, $39.99 instead of $79.99. If you donate a new article of kids' clothing or a new children's toy to the Foster Love Project when they show up for the furnace checkup appointment, give them a call, 412-297-1852, or just message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH. No dot. You're still going to need that furnace at some point this winter, especially tonight, although they probably wouldn't get there to check it out tonight. But yeah, they'll get there and check it out for you and make sure everything's in working order thanks to Impact HVAC. This is the 23rd consecutive home Monday night win for the Steelers. Neither Mike Tomlin nor Bill Cowher has ever lost at home on Monday night. And the 55th win on Monday night football overall by the Steelers, most in league history. So they could get a couple more of those scheduled going forward. That would be nice.
Yeah. No. Well, not this year. Maybe a Sunday nighter, right? Hopefully not.
A Sunday nighter especially in week 18, would indicate that game is for all the marbles in the AFC.
Yeah. I don't know because isn't – didn't somebody else – aren't the Ravens playing Sunday night this week?
I did not look at the week 16.
Maybe they exhausted their spots of Sunday night games.
This weekend schedule – oh, crap. Pull it up, Chris. Come on. Yeah, Ravens play the Patriots on Sunday night. So I don't know if that precludes the Ravens from ending up there again in week 18. But you would think if there's a chance to put that game on Sunday night with everything going into it, that it would be a good one, that NBC would want it. And this is a good point. John on YouTube said this felt like it could have been what a lot of people call a Tomlin special, right? A trap game. You're supposed to beat them. It's the Dolphins in the cold. It's Tua in the cold, all that stuff. But it was, you know, it was ugly at the beginning, but despite worrying about sounding cliched, it was hard-nosed. Like, Kenny G had a huge day, catching and running. And he has come up big a few times this year. 13 carries, 80 yards, 7 catches on 7 targets for another 46, averaged over 6 yards a touch, ran it between the tackles, broke tackles, caught balls out in the flat, caught balls in the middle of the field. He was all over the place. And, I mean, this is not what we thought we were getting, I don't think, in Kenny G when he was signed in the offseason. We thought, oh, okay, third down back. But he's been able to take over when they need him to.
And I asked him about it after the game, and he said, you know, they're trusting me. Look at his stats in Philadelphia. You know, he has been your prototypical third down back, catching the ball. That's about it. You know, nothing more than that. I think his most carries in the season, I will tell you here in a second, was 84. He's past that already. You know, he's had 364. Today he's passed the most attempts, the most yards he's had, and he has the most touchdowns, I believe. Now, he was came in here to be a complimenting third down back, to be, you know, just to move the chains. Who knew that he could run for, you know, 70, 80 yards, break big runs? He was never asked to do that. And he feels a little vindicated now that he is more than just a third down back. He can run the ball, nice 1-2 punch, and they trust him. That's the thing. Aaron Rodgers trusts him, and Arthur Smith trusts him. So, I mean, he touched the ball, what, how many times today? Had to be 20 times, right?
Yep, 13 runs, 7 catches.
Who knew? The guy's small, but he's fast, shifty, tough. Catches the ball, great hands, and he's getting paid about $1.5 million, right?
Chump change at the NFL level.
And you know, the funny thing is when we sit here and a lot of people complain about the Steelers front office and what they do, you don't tend to remember or talk about Kenny Gainwell and how much he means to this team and how little they got him for.
You know, he's been huge. He had the game, was it against the Vikings over in Dublin? That was a Kenny G game, right?
When he got sick. He's making 1.8. So you talk about chump change.
Yeah. And I did think it was important, and Justin, don't call me Justine, made this point in the chat on YouTube. The Dolphins tried laying a couple big hits early to make a little bit of a statement, and it didn't seem to affect the Steelers at all. Like, they took some big hits. Kenny G took a couple.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Couple of them, and they just got up and kept going. Ended up leading to a little bit of a stupid penalty in the third quarter when the Dolphins had a chance to get the Steelers off the field, and there was that taunting penalty called, which you can argue whether you like the taunting foul being a part of the NFL or not. It was, and the guy stood over was it Pat Freiermuth? Or no, DK. Stood over DK after the catch, and it kept the drive going. And that drive ended in 7 points.
Yep. I mean, another one is A-Chain. I mean, 60 yards rushing, 63 total yards offensive rushing, I mean, as a team.
And most of that came in the first quarter, right?
A lot of stuff was late crap, too.
Yeah, I was going to say it was late or it came in the first. Achane had a couple nice runs in the first quarter. He had a 14-yarder, a 24-yarder, and then it was gone. Once the Steelers scored on the last drive of the second quarter and the first drive of the third quarter, not only did the air just kind of leave the Dolphins' sails, but it felt like they started to wave a little bit of a white flag. What'd they have, negative 20 yards in the third quarter?
Oh, it wasn't pretty. I know that. And the thing about the Dolphins were, and I was pretty impressed by them leading up to this, is they could have given up a month ago. And they kept fighting and fighting and fighting, win four in a row to get back into this thing. But boy, first sign of something going wrong today. Go to Robert Morris and do your snow angels all you want. They just packed it in.
They went 24 and a half minutes between first downs. That's game time, not real time. 24 and a half minutes without a first down. That was, and look, the Steelers defense, kaboom, did this without TJ Watt on the field.
And not a lot of big plays by Herbig either. What he finished with, not much.
No, he had one nice tackle early as he was laying on the ground, ironically enough. I would have to double check his individual stats.
One tackle.
There you go. That was it.
One quarterback hit.
Yep.
Next order, one tackle, one quarterback hit. Alex Smith, two tackles. So you're three people replacing TJ Watt combined for four tackles.
That's saying something, that none of them had a big game, really. Now, they were creating pressure, I think, but I think more of that pressure seemed to come from right up the gut, like Hayward. Queen came late on one. Jalen Ramsey, not necessarily up the middle, but came on a late blitz and took Tua down once as well. So Tua just, my God, is he bad at handling pressure? For a guy as athletic as he is, I know he's not fast necessarily, maybe not even quick if you don't want to give him that, but like once he gets on the move, he just looks totally uncomfortable.
Yeah, and he doesn't know when to throw the ball away. Just get rid of it, man. Just get rid of it. Don't be trying to do some crazy stuff here. I mean, they're lucky he got to 15. And he ended – I mean, at one point, I forget his numbers. They were pathetic. It was like 6 of 9, 65 yards, 48 rating. And look what he ended up finishing at because of those last two meaningless drives. But it's an all-around tremendous win. And, What about Tomlin too, man? End of the first half, absolutely perfect time management, right?
Where are you? It ended up working out. Yeah, they left the Dolphins with what, 17 seconds left.
Everything worked. Everything seemed to work today. I mean, that doesn't mean it's going to work next week, but for 2 weeks, if you're going to get hot, man, this is the time to do it.
It seems like
things are working out. But we'll
I don't think it's no small coincidence that he talked about being coming out aggressive last week, and he was aggressive this week. Like every time, what? Other than one fourth down play where you would have preferred to see them go for it, and they punted, they were going for it on fourth downs. And that I'll be really interested to see how that matches up against Mr. Fourth Down Dan Campbell next week. But being aggressive when you have a future Hall of Fame quarterback who's playing as well as Aaron Rodgers is, and you've figured out this little Connor Hayward tush push thing that was 3 of 4 tonight, like, why the hell not? Yeah. Keep going for it. Hold on to the ball, because time of possession has been such a bugaboo for them this year. You can't keep punting it away when you've got fourth and short.
They were against the tush push. They voted, I believe, against it. That might change here in March when that's up for a vote again here, because it's been pretty – it's worked for him very well. I mean,
it's damn near unbeatable when Darnell just grabs Connor Hayward by the waist and throws him forward for 3 yards.
Yeah, Zach Frazier had some nice blocks to it. I mean, the key is, I think, is the center. If he can snap it, get low on that nose, then you can push him over the top. That was some good play. I think they should have tried Boswell earlier in the game.
What would have been 57, 58?
Yeah, I mean, if the jabron from Miami can kick 155. I'm sure Boswell could have gave it a whirl, but that's neither here.
Such disrespect for Riley Patterson, that jabron from Miami.
Well, have you ever heard of him before today? I don't know if I have. It seems like there's a lot of crazy-ass kickers that you've never heard of all of a sudden popped up this year.
Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. They've been in Kaboom's house and done work. They're headed back to do more once they're done over there at the Palatial Kabali Estate. They'll come over to the Mack household and get some things done as well. They do a fantastic job, interior, exterior. They'll do it all. They'll even handle, if you own your own business, commercial and industrial painting as well. In your house, they'll do the drywall repair first, make things look real nice before they put the paint on. They'll do a color consultation, all of it. All you got to do to set up your free estimate is go to HigginsProfessional.com or give them a call at 412-344-0480. We appreciate them supporting the show as well.
They do wall coverings too. I never knew.
That's right. Are you going to do the wallpaper? You can do a fancy wallpaper in your office?
You're funny.
Come on.
Like I have any say-so in that.
That's true. You have none. As well it should be. I want to go back to the offensive line since you brought up Zach Frazier. He played, 13 plays last week in Baltimore? But he played the full game tonight, and Dylan Cook looked really good again. It was to the point where when you don't notice a left tackle at all, that means the left tackle is playing really well.
Yeah, he's played well, which is surprising. What are they down to? Is he number three?
Three or four.
Three or four. Wait. We have Broderick. We had Calvin. Mm-hmm. And we have Dylan, right?
I mean, technically, Spencer would go in front of Dylan.
Spencer might be at the play guard now. So,
well, they ended up throwing who did they throw in at left guard late in the game? Ryan McCullough. So that Spencer Anderson could still be the sixth offensive lineman. So the left side of the line is getting kind of thin, but at least tonight, you wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah. I mean, I think the offensive line played well. What did he give up? Three sacks. One was on Rodgers, just falling down. Took a big hit late in that game when he probably didn't need to. The other one was a great scheme play, a twist by the Dolphins where somebody knocked Mason McCormick off his block from a blind side to freed somebody up. But for the most part, they did well. I mean, so that's a place that they've continuously getting better and better and better, especially on that right side of the line. But, yeah, Dylan Cook, you have to give him credit. I mean, they kept him around on the practice squad, cut him, released him. I guess that's the definition of next man up right there.
And they run blocked well, too. I mean, there were maybe fewer than a handful of times you saw a running back contacted in the backfield. It did happen a couple times. But, I mean, the tight ends continue to block well. Like Darnell Washington out on the edge and Adam Thielen on the outside making just a massive hole for Jonnu Smith on that touchdown run. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell was not getting giant creases to run through, but he was getting enough room, then putting his head down and trucking for another 4 or 5 yards. So it wasn't the best run blocking we've seen from them all year, but it wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, we've seen a lot worse, this year. So you can't really complain about that whatsoever. They've just played. I mean, it's hard to find something.
Who's making faces over there at you that you were looking at?
You got Chris. Wait, right next to me, you got Saunders.
Okay.
You got Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Pursuta, then you got Charlie Batch. We're all like waving to each other right now. Wes Euler. All right,
none of them are doing a show right now, are they?
Chris making fun of Charlie.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, there we go.
Everyone's happy.
Everybody's happy. It's the Steelers win. I said, Pursuta. I said, you're going to get any Fire Tomlin calls? He goes, there'll be some. I'll let one through.
This is a good question from John Cantalina on the YouTube chat. The backup's playing better than Broderick. I mean, Dylan Cook grabbing hold of a job that he may not let go of.
I don't know, man. I don't think Broderick's playing terrible. So, but you don't want your 14th overall pick just not to play terrible either.
right?
Especially in his third year, right? So, I mean, it does not do well for a team that has an option in April to pick up his draft or his fifth-year option or not. Like, okay, what are we doing here? Do we really need to pick up his fifth-year option? So I'm sure this is not helping his cause right now. You know what I thought? I mean, let me get your thought on this one, the Rodgers-Arthur Smith dynamic.
Okay.
I think they work very well together because I think what we saw a lot of today was the multiple plays called in the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he allows Aaron or trusts Aaron enough to be able, rightfully so, to say, okay, this, I'm going to go here. Quick throw, handoff. So I think Arthur's being able to package those plays together, then Aaron choosing. I know a lot of quarterbacks do that, but it seems like those two are on the very, very same page of doing that. And that's hard to defend, man. When you got a smart quarterback that says, okay, I see this, so I guarantee I'm going to this. I mean, I think that was very prevalent tonight.
Well, I also think it's the kind of thing you can do when you have a quarterback who's played for nearly 20 years and has seen absolutely everything. Like, there was a question
in the chat. Still good enough to throw the ball, too, right?
Right, and there was a question in the chat about Rodgers having more freedom to adjust plays than Russ or Fields last year. I would imagine he does. I would imagine he's got more freedom to adjust plays than any Steelers quarterback in the last 30 years not named Roethlisberger.
I don't know if he can have more freedom. I think they allowed him an option. You know, it's not like he could just call whatever the hell he wants.
No, but I think
for the most part,
not only can he adjust from play to play, calling a couple in the huddle, but you also hear him. It was very audible on the ESPN mics tonight. You could hear everything he was saying. You know, I forget what the call was when they were down on the goal line and they tried a handoff to Warren a couple times in a row that didn't work before they finally punched it in. But you know, you would hear him adjusting things at the line. You hear him all the time calling out blitzes. That is the kind of stuff that you only get with a veteran quarterback or a really intelligent quarterback who's been through the league a certain amount of time. You're not going to see rookies that confidently changing from play to play or adjusting calls at the line of scrimmage. You're just not. And it's something we haven't had in Pittsburgh in particular in 4 years. So, you know, no, Russ probably didn't have that same level of freedom. Fields did not. Pickett did not. Trubisky did not. I would doubt that even Mason, as comfortable as he may be in Pittsburgh and with the Steelers offense, that even Mason has that level of freedom because Rodgers simply walks up to the line and it's like, you know, the visual in Terminator when he's looking around and he's just scanning things and it's identifying things. That's what I imagine it looks like to Rodgers. He just looks around. He goes, okay, I have a slant there. I have a curl route here. And let me slide the protection this way. Okay. Turbo, turbo, go.
I mean, you saw a prime example of that when there was 12 men on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he knew it was 12 men on the field and the refs didn't. He's like, let's go, boom, boom, boom. He's like, dude, there's 12 men on the field. And the refs are like, okay, I guess. So he's well aware of his surroundings. Come on, Robert. Are we going to complain about Calvin Austin because he didn't have a catch?
He's asking a question.
I mean, do you want everybody to have catches? You know what Calvin Austin did? He put Mika on his ass on that DK touchdown.
Was that Calvin Austin that did that, or was that DK that gave him the
DK old? DK shoved him off, and Calvin finished the job.
DK gave him the old, get the off of me. Yeah. Get your hands off of me.
Now, I think I'm struggling here, Mac. I don't think I'm live here.
What do you mean you're not live?
Well, I'm live now. I mean, my computer. I mean, the Wi-Fi in this freaking place can kiss my rear end.
What's the problem? We were all hearing you and people.
No, I'm talking about live on Twitter. We have like 50 views because something didn't happen.
Oh, what did you do?
That's what I'm saying.
Did you fix it?
I think so.
Well, we'll see. Who was the dude that had the sack on Tua at the end of the game? Never heard of that guy?
Tuomo.
Yeah.
Otomo. You think I can pronounce his name? I can't. You lucky I can pronounce Achane's name.
No, yeah. It's Achane. It's not Achane. He corrected everybody on that like 3 years ago.
Who did?
He did. He corrected everybody like 3 years ago.
No, he can kiss my Achane then. What about Jordan Brooks, man? He had like 18 tackles.
Yeah, and then took a ridiculously stupid penalty that handed them a drive. Like, that's great that you're running around and you're doing all those things and making plays, but then it takes one stupid moment and you blow up a third down stop. It's just dumb.
You know what? I think we're at the point now to ask ourselves, is this sustainable now for the rest of the regular season?
Which part of it? All of it?
They're playing well. I mean, not being Buffalo / Chicago / Chargers second half, that type of crap where they just look like a team that was clueless and gave up and didn't give a crap.
I'm going to flip it back around on you. If they play as well next Sunday as they did tonight and last Sunday in Baltimore, do they beat the Lions in Detroit?
Lions are a desperate team, more desperate than the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
The reason I ask is because of this. Like, I think they could play a really good game, really solid game against the Lions in Detroit next Sunday and still lose, right? Like, they could still lose 31-28 in Detroit because – the Lions offense is just that high powered, especially at home.
I mean, it's tough now. They're going to have to Detroit to get in the playoffs. Man, they're a game and a half behind Green Bay with three left. They don't have much margin for error right now. For you imagine they're not going to catch Chicago. So I think what you need to see, even if they do lose, they have to play well. They can't have that Buffalo, Chicago, Chargers. What else is another game they sucked an egg on?
Cincinnati game. Yeah.
Cincinnati game.
So
you can't have those games, Seattle games. You need to play tight, play them, down to the last possession. Then you can accept a loss, knowing that it doesn't really mean a ton. But I don't want to see him get blown out. I mean, then you screw your whole momentum up. It's like,
Mr. Positivity Slammy says that the Lions D is shite. What are we talking about? The Lions D can be shite. But like I said, I think the Steelers could play a really good game next week and still lose 31-28.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, I guess my point, the whole reason I brought that up is, like, they can continue to play well, and people will still, in some cases, find a reason to bitch about it if they lose to the Lions.
It's just people in general.
That's just the nature of things. I know.
You'll always find somebody bitching.
So, here's the thing. Is it sustainable through the last 3 weeks of the season? I think it is.
That's the problem. You think. Because you just keep reminding back to Chicago, Buffalo, Cincinnati. Right. You're thinking, that team's in there somewhere, isn't it?
I mean, we've seen it the last 2 weeks. And I hate to make it all about Rodgers, too. But, when Rodgers plays this well, I don't want to say it feels like you can't lose to anybody. Like,
you're in the game. You're in the game.
You've always got a chance to win. Always.
That's what I wrote, and people are laughing at me.
No, I think it's because he goes to the line of scrimmage every single time. Like I said, scanning the field like the original Terminator, just looking around for the best possible play. And he actually looks better with a busted wrist than he did before the busted wrist.
He grabbed that today, didn't he?
He did. He went down a couple times hard in the first quarter. But, I mean, so yes, it is sustainable. But does that necessarily mean they finish the year on a 5-game winning streak? I don't know. They could still lose to Detroit. They could play really well against Baltimore and lose. Like by all rights, they could have lost to Baltimore a week ago despite playing really well because of one call in the end zone.
Yeah. To answer your question, Robert, no, they cannot clinch this weekend.
No. Yeah.
They could lose the tiebreaker in the division.
Right.
That's why they either need a division win over Cleveland or Baltimore.
The best way I can think to describe it is they have a magic number of 3 right now. You know, like magic number in baseball, combined wins and losses by the team behind you. So if they won their next 2, or even if they won one of their next 2, right, they could lose to Detroit and beat Cleveland. As long as Baltimore, you know, if Baltimore were to lose to the Patriots and Packers, they'd still clinch the division.
Yeah, they both can lose next week. Imagine they both lose. The Lions and the Ravens lose to the Patriots. That would make that week 17 game. If the Steelers win and Baltimore loses, then the Steelers would clinch.
Then it would clinch, yeah.
No, if they would lose again and Baltimore would win again, whoever wins the final game, because the tiebreaker, even though they would win the tiebreaker in the division, Baltimore, they would not win the head-to-head, which is the number one tiebreaker. They would be Baltimore twice. So
right, which I think corrects what Slammy is trying to say in the chat here, which is they can clinch with wins the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
Because if they won the next 2 weeks and Baltimore also won the next 2 weeks, yeah, they would still have to beat Baltimore in week 18.
Yeah, they would have to definitely beat Cleveland. Unless they lose the next 2.
That's a low-key
sneaky game. Oh, they're still going to have to beat Cleveland regardless, I think.
That's a low-key sneaky game that I am not at all excited about.
I don't know. I think Cleveland just stinks.
I think they stink, too. But I mean, they stunk last year when they played them in the snow.
You watch Kenny Carman up there. They want to fire the entire freaking world. It's a disaster. The coach is losing freaking arm bands for Shador. They just suck. Jerry Jeudy's like making interceptions in his hand and just handing it to the defensive player or something. It's just a disaster up there.
It's Cleveland.
And it's probably going to get worse. So I understand that they go up there and lose from time to time, but I don't know if that's going to be the case now.
Well, and Shador is just not very good at football. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
He's just not. If Tua is bad, Shador. If Tua is a C-, Shador is a D+. Like, they're just basically right there, almost interchangeable. And for just a second, from a Dolphins perspective, how angry do you have to be that you've committed like $50 million a year to Tua Tagovailoa as your starting quarterback?
That's when you're desperate. You have any semblance of thinking a quarterback's good, you better take that chance. And when they signed Tua, he was not a bad quarterback. He was ripping up the ball to Tyreek and Waddle and everybody else. But
when he's bad, he is bad, man.
They have no weapons. What do they have? Waddle, then who? Who?
Waddle and Waller.
I'm saying, I mean, they don't have any weapons.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Thanks to our good friends at the Dan Heck Team. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Get a hold of them today at heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. They'll make the whole process of buying a new home and selling your old one as stress-free and seamless as possible. Check out all the listings right now as well at heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate their support of the show. So 28-15 is the final. Steelers defeat the Dolphins, still control their own destiny. Even if they lose the next 2 weeks, all they got to do is beat Baltimore in week 18. And despite all that, some people will still walk away this weekend saying, it's just the Dolphins.
Fire Tomlin.
Fire Tomlin. I think you can pause the Fire Tomlin chance for at least a week, right?
Oh, they're going. I don't know. They cheered Renegade. Then they went 3 and out. Then they went 3 and out.
Renegade.
3 and out. So that we got that back on track, right?
That's true. That's good.
Yeah, Chris Longo. I don't think they can even be. I don't think they can get into the wild card, regardless.
No, I mean, if you just eye up the standings right now, even if they won out, they would be.
It's 10-win teams already, right?
Yes, that is correct. But they would be an 11-win team if they won out. So they would be 11-6. However, in the playoff standings right now, you've got the Chargers with 10 wins and Buffalo with 10 wins. Houston has 9. So I guess theoretically, but if they won their final three games, they wouldn't be a wild card anyway. They'd be a division winner. Yeah. So
they'd be in the wild card round, I guess. Whatever they call it, super wild. I don't even know what the hell they call it.
Well, everybody's in the wild card round, but the one seed. So, and you know what? This is one of your favorite games. Do you want to play if the season ended today? This is your favorite.
I already know that. They play the Chargers, right?
Yes. The San Diego, LA Super Chargers.
Who are flawed out the ass.
They are flawed. I think if the Steelers got them in Heinz Field, you would get an opposite. And I don't just think it's a home field advantage thing, but I think you would get the opposite result of what we got when they were in LA. Because by then, Herbert's going to be completely broken. And I just, like you said, they're totally flawed. I wouldn't mind getting the Chargers in the first round at all.
Honestly, if you look at the conference, the 7 teams in the conference right now, or the 6, including the Steelers, are in the playoffs. Which ones do you think the Steelers can't beat? I think they can beat them all. I mean, Houston might be tough because Houston's
right.
An unbelievable defense and hot as can be. I think Denver, New England, Jacksonville, Chargers, Buffalo, all beatable.
Yeah, I think you'd have to have the Steelers playing the way they did tonight, though. They'd have to have a nearly flawless game, and that's what tonight was, nearly flawless.
Another thing about it, I mean, the Rodgers are just – fascinating to me. I mean, he knew damn well that what they were playing cover two. He knew that he was going to have to nickel and dime. I mean, he wasn't going to be able to do what he did against the Ravens, and he has that much discipline to be able to make those throws. Did you see some of those throws, man, where it's just – I think, like I keep mentioning, that Freiermuth one where it was like one step gone. The one you could tell one of them was RPO, I think, out to Freiermuth or something. It was just like boom, boom, boom. It was like turning two at second base. He was like Mazeroski.
How old are you? He was like Mazeroski. You couldn't give me like a Johnny Ray.
Mazeroski is known.
Freddie Sanchez.
Right? Freddie Sanchez. I'm talking about when the Pirates were good. People still don't like Aaron Rodgers, but you can't deny what he's been able to do for this team. Where would this team be? I mean, nothing against Mason, but. Where would this team be without him?
They would have lost at least two other games. You could flip their record. They'd be 6-8 instead of, and they'd still be in it because the division sucks. Or maybe one of those losses would have been to Baltimore.
Maybe Rodgers should come back.
That is a really great question about what, because. Who was it? Manning said he's going to stay in school. Didn't somebody else say they're going to stay in school too? The quarterback class sucks. And I'm not trying to get way ahead of things with the draft still 6 months away. But there isn't a quarterback coming out in the draft. You go, ooh, I'd love to have him. Sellers, thank you. Lenora Sellers. Slamming
mouth.
Sellers is going to stay in school too. Yeah. So the top five quarter, the top, you get past the top two even, and they're not that great. So why wouldn't you see what you can do to convince Rodgers to come back for one more year?
I don't know if it's convincing. It's whether he wants to or not. If he goes out like this, why would he want to come back?
What do you mean if he goes out like this?
Oh, I'm saying he's going out like this. He wanted to get that stench off him from the Jets. I think that stench is pretty much, use the whole bucket of Irish Spring. I think that stench is gone.
Right, the stench of the Jets is off of him, but if he were to get into the playoffs with this team and do it without a legitimate number two wide receiver
number one running back,
wouldn't he look around and go, man, if you guys could just add a piece or two, maybe we can legit go on a run next year? I'm not saying whether it really makes sense in reality or not, but, I mean, he may look at it that way.
This team is making us all goofy.
What's it? You talking about the Will Howard comments?
No. Just in the chat in general. Fire Tomlin. Booing Renegade. This team might win it all. Rodgers stinks. Bench him. Play Will Howard. They need to re-sign him. They get killed by Buffalo. They're a great team. They might win it all. I mean, my goodness. You talk about a freaking crazy-ass team that just drives you nuts. Wait till next week and they get blown out by the Lions. You're going to want to fire everybody again.
That's true.
Wow.
Look, man, it's just part of the schizophrenic nature of being a Steelers fan at this point.
I mean, this year has been top level. I've never seen it this
as far as craziness from week to week.
Up and down. You never know what you're going to show up.
Well, just imagine what happens then. Like, let's say they do put some things, continue to put things together down the stretch here, right?
Yeah.
And go into the playoffs and draw, like, what, the Chargers or the Jags in the first round or something, and then lose in the first round again. My God. It'll be like, you remember that Price is Right game? The yodeler who would go up to the top of the hill and then he'd fall off if you didn't stop him in time. That's what Steeler fans would be. They'd be climbing up the mountain and then all of a sudden they'd go right off the edge and lose their mind. Myself included, probably.
How much is this Maybelline lipstick? $8.
That was one of my favorite Price is Right games.
Mine. Oh, well, I mean, obviously.
Plinko's obvious. Look, definitive ranking of Price is Right game.
I like the golf, the putt.
Plinko number one, everything else.
What's the one where you had to punch the hole and Barker would punch?
I think they called it Punch Out, maybe.
That's not bad.
That was a good one. The golf game was good.
Because Bob would always like, no.
The yodeler was good. What was that called? Cliffhanger. Those are probably the best. I don't watch it since Bob Barker retired.
You ever watched
the... Nothing against Drew Carey, but I just don't watch it.
The documentary of that guy that figured out how to gamble?
Oh, the Press Your Luck. I haven't watched it. It's supposed to be really good.
I thought it wasn't Press Your Luck. It was The Price is Right. The dude did a whole big study for years and years and years of the prices of everything, so he got them all right all the time. It's like, this car was $24,107. Ding, ding, really? ding, you're correct.
I didn't see that. Oh, yeah. I did see there's a documentary about a dude who figured out back in the day, Press Your Luck. You remember no whammies, yeah. Stop.
It was a certain.
There were like 12 patterns.
Yeah.
And he memorized how they rotated. And so he went on this huge winning streak and they ended up like kicking him off the show because they said he was cheating. Because he wasn't, but they wanted, it was their game show.
Wow. So. Card sharks.
Get to Archie's on Carson this weekend, any day. Actually, it doesn't have to be the weekend. Anytime is a great time to get to Archie's, especially during the week. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. 80-cent wing nights, Mondays through Thursdays. The whole menu is fantastic, and they always got ice cold iron and icy light on draft. Get down there, whether it's Saturday for the college football playoff games. There's one on Friday as well. Sunday for a Steelers game. Any night of the week, get on down to Archie's. We appreciate Arch supporting the show. Kaboom, you want to wrap this thing up? Oh, we should give something away real quick.
Sure, that's your gimmick here.
That's my gimmick?
Did our teacher from Pottersville claim
Portersville. Yes, Alana from Portersville. I just shipped out her autographed Chris Boswell mini helmet this morning.
Right.
It's so,
how'd you ship it out on a Sunday? Oh, it's Monday. What am I talking about?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's a game. I thought it was Sunday.
Let's pick someone. You got a trivia question? Give them a question.
Trivia question?
Come on. That's what you've done before and it worked. You're always quick with these things.
nobody's going to know this one, but none other than Ohio State linebacker Jack Sawyer, who happens to be our neighbor.
Right.
I just found out frequents an establishment in the Jefferson Hills area. Which establishment is that?
Which establishment does Jack Sawyer frequent? I don't even know the answer to this one.
To eat.
I think I have a feeling I know the answer. Did you find out about this yesterday?
I found about it Sunday at...
Yeah, so yesterday. Lesson.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you were at wrestling. I know the answer now.
Okay.
I know the answer now. Because I know who you talked to yesterday.
How'd you know?
Oh, I hear things.
A lot of people come up to me and goes, hey, what about Mac? I'm like, I don't know. But this wasn't the...
No, I know exactly which establishment in Jefferson Hills does, which restaurant does Jack Sawyer frequent. First person to get the answer right in the chat wins. What do I have here? I got a 412. I got another 412 hoodie. This is a good one because it's got.
Ooh, I like that one.
You like that?
It's got somebody who is wearing one of those today. Oh, you know who is wearing that? The great Phil Maines is.
It's not Little Caesars or Domino's, people. Come on, it's Jack Sawyer.
412. I think Phil Maines' wife was wearing one of those 412 logo hats today. I saw.
Not Sicani's, Justin. That's a good guess too.
Put it this way: we may or may not have given away a gift certificate.
I mean, how easy do we have to make it? Whataburger, Steel Grill, no. All kinds of great guesses in the chat that we're not getting up on the screen fast enough.
We're going to have to switch this up a little bit.
Come on. So, no, it's not the P Bar. Come on.
Mac went the other day. And he
Slice on Broadway? That's not in Jefferson Hills. Come on. We literally gave away a gift certificate to this place like a month ago. There it is. We got a winner. Ryan Morgart, 392. Yolies.
All right. Ryan wins.
There it is.
He wins the hoodie.
He gets the 412 hoodie. Ryan, you're going to have to message us on X. Message the show account on X, Kabali and Mac. Let us know that it's you, and we will get your address.
Let's see that sucker again.
Happy 412 days of Christmas.
Let's see that sucker again. Where's it
it's
at?
A good one, huh?
Let's see the was it the front and the back of it?
So the front is just has this little 412 crest up top on the chest. The back has that whole thing. 412. You like that?
I like it. I like it.
You like that. So congratulations to Ryan. Go ahead. Message us, like I said, on social media, whether it's on Instagram, Twitter, however you follow the show, get a hold of it, get that shipped out to you. And we'll do another episode on Wednesday. Sound good, Kabooms?
I'm not going to get home till Wednesday at this rate.
Go write your story. This ain't a hard one.
Yeah, I write
Dolphins the story. Steelers are controlling their own destiny. Rodgers is a god. There you go. Story's done.
Yeah, then I got to go home and blah, 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 blah.
Get a nap.
No, take the kid to school, blah, 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 blah. The other girl, the daughter might be sick, so I'm going to have to play nanny tomorrow with no sleep. I'm on zero sleep.
You'll be fine. Go write your story. We can't wait to read it. We'll do it again on Wednesday. Up to something season in the world of Kabali and Mac. We'll have something fun to announce soon. Beyond all the 412 days.
Oh, yeah. I hear something's happening on January 1 here.
Huh? Some things are cooking. Some things are cooking.
Couple months in the making here. Going big time.
Big time. Big things. Big things going on. Thanks to each and every one of you, and seriously, for joining the show late at night like this, early in the morning. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
I didn't want to do it, but Mac made me do it.
I did. I twisted his arm. Go write your story and stop whining.
All right.
See you later.
Take a pee first.